Sometimes life feels out of our control. We get stuck in trauma, old patterns, and change feels out of reach. Sometimes it feels like fate. We want to help you break out of old, unhelpful patterns and become healthier. We're Fate Resilience, taking control of the outcome.
With licensed therapists, Jennifer Oxford,
Taylor Madsen,
Haley Mayer.
Welcome back to our self-compassion series, brought to you by puppies and kittens wearing mittens and Julie Andrews are our sponsors for today.
It's actually quite positive for you to say. I thought you were going to say something a lot more cryptic and dark. I'm a bit disappointed.
Rethink my life.
If anyone knows Julie Andrews and can get her on the podcast, please and thank you. So today on self-compassion, we're going to talk about self-kindness. The way that you treat your best friend, hopefully. Probably not the way I treat my best friends.
Well, you know.
And the way that you get upset when your best friend isn't treated well is the way that I like to think about self-kindness, that we'd like you to treat yourself the way that you treat your best friend and stick up for your best friend. We'd like you to stick up for yourself the same way. The way that people are is that the general template that the brain needs and to be ready for is to be kind to ourselves, that we need a good home, secure base. We need parents that are loving and kind to show us how to be kind to ourselves.
So with what you're referring to with Taylor, well, first of all, self-kindness and self-compassion, it almost sounds like we're using two different words for the same thing, but
that
we're not
very similar, doesn't
yeah.
it?
And so let's just make it like this is helping the overall self-compassion, which is what we are discussing with these different parts, but being kind to oneself, that you need that basic understanding before you can even understand the wholeness of compassion. Compassion is more than just being nice, right? And so with Taylor's touching on, I just want to make a differentiation first,
yeah.
That's two different terms. We're not just interchanging them for fun because we want to add different words.
Kristen Neff in her book, Self-Compassion, says by definition, self-kindness means that we stop the constant self-judgment and disparaging internal commentary that most of us have come to see as normal. It requires us to understand our foibles and failures instead of condemning them. It entails clearly seeing the extent to which we harm ourselves through relentless self-criticism and ending our internal war. If we don't have that running commentary of self-criticism, what do? Just sit in the silence?
Well,
the lack of self-criticism sits in curiosity and appreciation. I think that's what we, versus self-criticism, which is a fear response. So if we look at what are we doing if we're not critical, then we're sitting in curiosity, appreciation for what is, and kind of in that self-discovery place.
State of wonder. We stopped recording. We convened.
We convened the quorum.
We convened.
Held a vote.
The committee. And we talked about this idea too, that like, this idea of self-kindness is a reintroducing it to ourselves as an older, more experienced individual. Self-kindness, you don't have to teach children self-kindness, okay? Often, unless there is a severe, I'm just going to put this caveat, severe abuse, children will develop differently than the book text of what we typically see. So understand that caveat. I saw someone different. Yes, that can totally happen. But typically with children, Taylor made, you know, he's got daughters, they're learning to dress themselves, you know, they're learning to decide what goes with what. Think about a kid who it is their job to dress themselves. Think about someone who's like maybe like 4, 5, maybe up to 6, 7 kind of thing.
Yeah, they tell me when things don't match, like, what about this? Like, yeah. No, daddy.
But then they come out and they're wearing, you know, sparkle striped tights with a dinosaur print shirt, sometimes with their underwear outside of their clothes and a tutu and some wings. You don't see adults dressing like that typically, unless you're in New York. But it's one of those things where that's that idea of, I think I look great. Look at me, right? And it's this feeling of like,
it's that absence of self-criticism.
And I love when like, I love seeing like little kids, like when they're doing their, like my friend's kids, when they like do their parents' makeup, they'll be like, you're so beautiful is what they tell their parent as they're like putting on this like crummy paint mix or something like that on their parent. Like,
their watercolor.
Look how beautiful you are. There's this innate thing that like we're just unfortunately we're taken from that really pure thinking about ourselves and the people around us, right? And we learn how to find fault in ourselves, and we learned others are going to find fault in us too. And it really puts us on a bender. And then as adults, we come back, we go, okay, I should be nice to myself. And then we think we're broken because we can't. And it's this idea of, you're actually programmed to do that first. So how do we bring it on back, right? How do we reintroduce this idea of self-kindness on a more deep level too now? And how do we do this? Like my favorite, I loved it. So my nephew, a couple of years back when Encanto came out, we watched it like 30 times one night when I was babysitting him, and he was looking at Louisa, and Louisa's the really strong girl, not the one who's like pretty flowers. She was strong and she was holding up donkeys and stuff.
Louisa merch that sold out, right?
I think action figures. I can't remember, but she, it was funny because he would look at her and go, she's so beautiful. And he was like two, I think, or something like that. So beautiful. And he kept like watching her and he was enamored. And it was just this like idea too of not just like this fixation part, but this idea of like, he was recognizing something. He thought she was so, not just like physically, he was like, look how strong she is. And he would like hold my little like 2-pound weights and like want to be like her kind of thing.
So
it was cute. And so it was this like self-kindness too, that like he saw that in others and it helped him see it in himself. And he'd be like, my name's Colt. I'm cool. And he'd like say fun things like that. And it's interesting watching him as he's getting older and that kindness, he's still very good about himself, but you can tell he's starting to question those things a little bit more. Right. And he's only, you know, a couple years older, but it's interesting seeing that change and that hesitancy entering a little bit more, which is something that, you know, as Jen and Taylor have touched on, comes about because of like outside influences, because of trauma, because of we realize our parents or our caregivers or our friends are not doing the things they need to, or we don't even know that they aren't because we don't know any different, but we don't get that full support. And sometimes that can really put us in a loop. And then we want to shut that part down, a self-kindness and a protection factor.
It's interesting. We've talked about some different types of therapy. I think one of the types of therapies that helps a lot with self-compassion for me is internal family systems, because we do use some of the imagery of child parts or parts that maybe need compassion because of their pain, or even protective parts that might be criticizing because they're trying to keep us from being hurt. And it's interesting. I liked Taylor's quote from Kristen Neff. I had one about, it's the opposite of ignoring your pain and flagellating ourselves, right? So when we're in a place where we're ignoring our own pain, and we're pretending like, no, I'm good. I just need to do the next task. We talk about that a little bit in the mindfulness episode last. Or I just need to get through this day. Or it will all be over once I get to my phone and play whatever game I want or start my next flick series, whatever that is. We're really avoiding the actual interaction with self. Mm-hmm. And kind of treating ourselves like objects rather than people. And so when we can sit down and start to move ourselves into a place where we are treating ourselves as a person, and that goes back to what Taylor was saying about that best friend kind of attitude, how would you treat your best friend if they were having a really crappy day? Well, depending on your love language, you may give them a call, you may get them, you know, their favorite soda, you may say, hey, you're doing great. There's a lot of things you do when you're having your worst day and you've created some of this critical internal dialogue. That's usually not how we respond. And so if we're going to be compassionate, we have to again, we have to choose to be kind, and that comes from warmth. Kindness is not just, you know, please and thank you and may I, but it's an actual warmth experience and understanding, not only about, you know, you being human, but that you might be suffering, that you might be failing or feeling inadequate. So as we do that, this kindness isn't just about, you know, go pick a flower for somebody, but actually connect with the emotions that maybe they're struggling with, or maybe, and then of course, self-kindness is connect to the ones that you're struggling with.
I'm curious, as you listen to this podcast, when that self-critical voice came, if there's a moment you realize it just showed up. For example, when did you learn that you were fat? When did you learn that you were ugly? When did you learn that you were dumb?
Even as you're saying that, you're saying, when did you learn? Some people may not believe that about themselves, but you can say, when Hopefully. Did you get told and then repeat to yourself, oh, where did I get the message? Maybe might be better rather than learn. Where did I get the message of I'm fat or ugly? Or
I like style? Phrasing it that way because it immediately yeah. pulls up memories for people. And okay. if the answer is no, then they'll just say no.
Yeah.
I have a particular memory of being told that freckles are ugly and internalizing that. I was in a park with a bunch of other kids. And so seeing this filter come out on social media of giving people freckles and that people really like freckles now, I'm like, oh man, that is so cool.
You get them tattooed on their face.
Yeah. That freckle tattoos are in vogue. How cool is that? And I like my freckles now, just to be clear for anyone listening and feeling bad for me. But yeah, there was a period growing up where I became very critical every time I looked in the mirror and saw my freckles. I hated them.
And I think this idea of like, how do we go back to being kind? I think it is about finding what are the things that are kind of on our, like you said, like for you, it's freckles, right? For me growing up, it was always my, like the size of my thighs. It was, I'm a taller girl. So honestly, to compare myself with any of the girls in my class was insane back then because I was a foot taller than most of them.
And that was before like Beyonce brought the leg meat, as Tina Fey would say.
There you go. But it was one of those things that I remember sitting there and the girls, they would all line up and they would all compare how big they're. Look how big I can put my hands around. I couldn't put my hands around my thighs even as a young kid because I was like, they had to be big enough to support a tall girl growing. And so, but I'd always compare it, you know, and then it's things like that where you start recognizing those things. And I think it's okay to still, you can have self-kindness and still have some self-unsurety about certain things physically or emotionally about yourself.
I think what's more important about self-kindness is that it becomes louder than the critical voice.
Yeah, it becomes an idea of like, maybe that isn't my ideal, right? But at the same time, that's not a detriment to me. I think that's the part of self-kindness that I think is huge is I can acknowledge something isn't my ideal, but it's not a detriment. It's just as it is, right?
Well, and I could even hear in what you were describing, Haley, the kindness that you gave yourself of treating your body like my legs are there to hold up my body, not necessarily to elicit some response from other people. That's an act of self-kindness of I can appreciate the way my body functions and again, not just moving this into body kindness, which is really important part of self-kindness, but also, you know, that idea of people, one of the things that is amazing is people call themselves stupid. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, I've never heard a really stupid person call themselves stupid, only people who wish they were smarter.
The Dunning-Kruger effect is... so right. helpful and in our world. Yeah.
I will not identify how many stupid people I'm referring to, but I'm just saying that only people who wish they were better or wish they could somehow accomplish something criticize themselves. And so I think even starting with that of saying like, can you be kind to yourself that you wish you want to learn, you want to be somebody who has more knowledge and information, whether you want to do something better or you want to be more effective or you want to feel stronger or you wish you had more ability to run after your kids, whatever it is. Start with the self-kindness of your desire to be better is something to be acknowledged and to be appreciated. Now, use that desire to now move you forward. We talked about values in our motivation steps. So use that, but stay with that place of how can I be tender and nurturing towards myself? Because that is where growth happens, is in that tender, nurturing experience. People don't grow when they're being criticized. They don't progress.
If hating yourself into change worked, I think the world would maybe be different.
I mean, they have those plants on exhibit in different places that it's like,
that exhibit,
talk to the plant in a kind way, and then the other one talk to it in a bad way. And the one that you talk to in a kind way, I don't know if the background, they're like giving it fertilizer. And
they're like, no, it's been repeated from the 70s. Yeah.
That the one that you talk to in a kind way, it grows a lot better. And I mean, honestly, I feel like probably a lot of that is like the carbon dioxide that you're like, by trying to like talk to something, you're probably giving it a lot more nutrients than like, you suck. Like that's usually not a lot.
As unbelievable as that experiment is of the plant that's been spoken to kindly flourishing, water as it's freezing, being spoken to kindly versus water that's spoken to unkindly freezing, the water spoken to kindly will have more symmetrical ice crystals.
Oh, the same with tears. Have you seen that experiment too?
Yeah.
Tears that are cried out of happiness versus tears that are cried out of joy versus anger. They all have different crystallizations within them of like salt of what they look like.
The salt content.
Yeah. And so it looks very different.
This is enough like.
There's a physical change.
Science.
Yeah.
But I had to look into this so deeply before I was like, okay, this really happened.
This is reputable.
I think there's an aspect, I love that our plant lady brought up the plant thing because I was thinking about it too. But
I do what I can
for holding your
good omens.
Yeah.
Or he yells them in anyway.
I love it. Yeah, that's it. I love that we're talking about this because, you know, Haley, you mentioned that maybe they are fertilizing it. People we're nicer to, we do treat better.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So maybe if you start talking nice to yourself, you might treat yourself better than if you were talking mean to yourself. That is not supposed to be a separate effect. It's supposed to be
that happens cumulative with people and with animals. That animals that are cared for, given the same amount of food, have lower cholesterol, they have a longer life expectancy, and the same thing happens with people.
Animal that I love, I'm going to pet more. It's going to have
and that's exactly the only difference that happens is just pets that are held for 15 minutes longer a day in a laboratory setting, but gets the same amount of food, otherwise spends the same amount of time in a cage, has lower cholesterol and has a longer life expectancy.
So if we're getting that from outside, that's great. Just imagine how much better it would be if we're providing that for ourselves on the inside.
Yeah. And the biggest obstacle tends to be what we call near experiences and far experiences. And so with eating disorders, for example, someone might have a far experience of them being beautiful or skinny or fat or what have you. And a near experience for that same person might be that they're intelligent or that they are that they have friends or something. So a near experience is how close am I to believing this and how far away is that experience from me believing it? And so to get to self-kindness, we have to start with things that are more believable or more achievable for us to being kind to ourselves. So a far experience for me is me being athletic. That's a couple bridges down the road. But a near experience is...
Stop being such a downer. God.
Debbie Downer. I love those sketches. 60% of the time, my brain works every time. And so we work together with our clients to help find these baby steps, right? Going back to What About Bob. And we can help find these baby steps to be kind. We don't have to jump in the deep end of the pool because sometimes that's just not an achievable goal in the first session.
So, I think it's important as as you're talking about that, Taylor, to give yourself permission to say, what can I appreciate about myself? What can I say I'm doing well, right? And it goes back to whether it's even my desire to be better. I was thinking as you were talking about not being athletic, I thought the opposite for me is I would say, but Taylor, you're a good dad, right? Also, because all of your non-athletic stories with your daughters are the funniest thing. But I
was like coming in because my youngest wouldn't let me go. It was really cute.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, well, you know, no, nobody's perfect. And we're gonna talk about more in the next episode what it means to be human, but giving yourself permission to say, I'm gonna experience pain, I'm gonna have weaknesses. And instead of focusing on those, which will make me afraid and trigger my fight, flight, freeze response, I'm going to focus on the things that help me calm down and become gentle and have a little more breath. And so it really does work together. I think it's important to recognize that it's not meant to work in a vacuum. It's meant to work together, saying, you know what? Maybe I totally screwed up at work today, but I'm a good friend. And I wanted to be good at this, even though I wasn't. And I'm willing to learn. I'm somebody who's willing to try again. All these are self-kindness, where if I say, hey, you're an idiot, and that's where I leave it, that shuts people down. It's a fixed mindset versus a growth mindset, which is another topic we've talked about. And so really give yourself permission to say, and go to that curious place of, how can you be kind to yourself? How can you include warmth and tenderness for some of the difficult experiences you might be having?
Thanks for listening. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Please feel free to rate, subscribe, and review. And if you want to find us on social media, we're on Instagram and Facebook at Fate Resilience. We'd love to hear from you.